Accession number 19923, Reel 1.
Wally Foreman, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Where was I born?
Yes.
In Battersea, southwest London.
Which year was this?
That was on the 29th of March, 1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling at Battersea?
Yes, in Burns Road, at the Latchmere.
How old were you when you left there?
I left at 14 years of age.
So that would have been in 35?
That's 35.
Did you get a job?
Yes. At Whitehall Court.
Doing
as a page boy.
How long did that last?
That must have been a year or so. I know it, a couple of years. I went to the Eccentric Club, and then up to probably around about a year or so.
What kind of jobs did you do after that?
And then I went to the Eccentric Club in Ryder Street, St James's, as a lifter attendant.
What kind of work were you doing when war was declared?
I was at Ross's, an optical firm at Clapham Common. They were making optical lenses, glass for glasses sort of thing, and also prisms for height and range finders, that sort of thing. As used to grind and polish lenses.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Oh yes, we listened to that. Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about it?
Well, to be honest, I was only 18. So didn't take it all that to heart, as you might say, you know. It just rang alarm bells, of course, you know, wondering what was going to happen. But I'd already joined the Territorials by then.
When did you join the TA?
That was in 39. I believe it was May 39. At the Duke of York's Chelsea.
Why had you gone in for the TA?
Well, it was I'm not sure how I got in it, really. I went across there with my friend, Mr. Chaff, Harry Chaff. He drove for Carter Patterson's, and he wanted to join the service corps as a driver in the Territorial Army. I accompanied him with two other friends. We were going to go on there, you know. And we went across to Duke of York's Chelsea. When we caught the bus back to Battersea, I had joined the Ordnance Corps as a dispatch rider, but Harry Chaff hadn't signed up. They had no vacancies for drivers. So I had no intention of joining the Territorials, but on the way I found myself signed up with the Ordnance Corps.
Had you wanted to go in the Ordnance Corps?
Not particularly. It was just something that came in, because Harry Chaff was joining, I joined, sort of thing, you know. But at the end of the day, he couldn't get signed up because he had no, they had no vacancies. But I had gone in. I didn't intend to go over and join up. I just accompanied him.
So what do you remember happening next?
Well, we went to the New Forest at Brocklehurst, for summer camp for 2 weeks. And it poured the rain all the time. And everybody went back home bar us. And we stayed on for the 2 weeks and then came back. But that was the one camp that I went with the Territorial Army.
Did you learn anything at camp?
Oh, we did the usual when it was possible, you know, the weather allowing, that's where I first started riding motorbike. Because I joined as a DR, you see, a dispatch rider, although I've never ridden a motorbike before. But that's where I started to ride a motorbike.
What happened after the war declaration then to you?
Oh, well, we heard it on the wireless, and I never heard it, but my parents told me that it had been on the wireless. The territorials had to report to their depot so that they could be informed of what to do. Then we would be allowed home to get our equipment and everything, you see, and go back. So, once again, Harry Chaff and a couple of the friends, we were going dancing afterwards. I was going to report into Duke of York's, and then we was all going to go off dancing, you see. But when I got there, I had my best suit on, dancing pumps, all the lot. When we got there, they ticked my name off. Says, right, they had about half a dozen of, there used to be a building firm called Truckles, open lorries. Up on the open lorry, and off I went to Hendon Airfield. And the last I heard of my friends was, be lucky, Walt. And that was it. I was taken off to Hendon, and we slept in a sort of hangar there that night. They gave us a palliasse, a straw palliasse, a blanket and that sort of thing, you know. And that was it. That's where we stayed. Well, apart from the following morning, remember, it was only a territorial. I'd only been in it since May. We weren't trained soldiers or anything like that. But the following morning, I went and had a row with the adjutant. He was a Major Lyon from one of the Guards regiments. And he, I told him very forcibly, I wasn't staying. I had no tools to eat with. I never had a bit of soap, a towel, anything. We understood that we were going to report and then go home and get our gear, you know. And here I was in my best suit and everything, with nothing to ever wash with or eat with or anything else. Anyway, this is in the middle of the parade ground, which is holy ground, isn't it? You know, I was in a bit of trouble there. But he saw the sense of it, I suppose, because there was quite a few of us in the same boat. And we was allowed 24 hours to go home and get our gear. And that was my first morning of the call-up. And from there, once we got back with all our gear and everything, you see, we were sent to Finchley Golf Club to watch the golf course in case of German paras descending. Bit of a disaster, that place as well.
Why was that?
Well, as I say, we weren't trained soldiers or anything, and on the first night, I was on guard. We was all at the guard room was the clubhouse. And we used to put a chap on stag down the front at the gate sort of thing, you know, car park gate. Sort of, and of course, being rookies and everything, off those that wasn't on marching round the golf course, some had their trousers off and under the palliasse, and the bonducks was left lying all round the place, you know. And sometimes during the early hours of the morning, the only officer and all the sergeant came round, you know. And they whipped some of the rifles out and the parts of the uniform that was left strolling around. Then they went back out and shouted, turn out the guard. They walked through the gate at the bottom and found the bloke that's supposed to have been on stag duty, that was supposed to have been on there, in the back of a car, in a car park, like, with his rifle left outside, leaning against the wing of the car. And they took that, you see.
What was he doing in the back of the car?
You can guess, can't you? He's sleeping. Should I be saying this?
Yes.
But that was our sort of initiation into the army. Row the first morning because we had no gear. And our first night on guard duty, half of us was got our heads down and we was in trouble there. So they called a parade, and I think it was Williams, Captain Williams, I'm sure it was. And he had a very thin, weak sort of a voice. He got us all on parade there, and he said, last night's guard, was no guard at all. He said, from now on, he said, the bugle will be blown every hour during the night, you know, keep you awake. And then some wit at the back shouting out, you couldn't blow your own nose. So we all got a week's confined, you know, to barracks. Anyway, that went on. Do you want me to sort of just carry on?
Please.
No. Well, that was our initiation. The first job was on Finchley Golf Course, guarding the course against German paras. But being 18, you see, of course, the unit itself went to France. But being 18, I was considered too young. So I was sent off to another unit up Yorkshire, just outside Hull, along the
River Humber.
Humber. A little place called Paul Point. And there was a little sort of a bay there, or cove, or something or other, you know. Well, we were billeted in an old rectory, you know, a vicarage. It had about 30 rooms in it, but there was only about a dozen of us. So we only used about four or five of them, three or four of them, you know. The rest of it was all empty. And it was quite run down, you know. Things banging about during the night. And we were positioned between an ACAC site on one side and an ammunition dump on the other, where the all the ships that came up the Humber to Hull docks, they had to unload their ammunition and stuff, you see, at this thing before they went up. And there was only a barbed wire fence separated us from it. So it was that on one side and the ACAC site on the other. And of course I was riding a DRLS service then.
What's that?
A dispatch rider's letter service round the different parts of the units, you know, from the ACAC site. And we used to have to run down to, I believe it was Arnold in Nottingham, for any little spare parts or anything like that was needed. And that was my main job, was a DR service, you see. But when there was like, in between the runs, I just helped out on any sort of thing, you know. And one of the jobs we had, I think it was every couple of days, we used to go down to this little cove, or bay, or whatever it was, you know, I can't remember it too plainly, but I know it was Paul Point, little cove, we was in the vicarage. And this job we had was to go down there and pick up any bodies that had been washed up there, because there was quite a few, what with airmen, seamen, washed in from the North Sea, you see, down the Humber. And used to find quite a few in there.
Is this still 1939?
This would be... Yes, I think it would be. Hmm. 1 minute. September, October, November, December, 3. Well, it was very late 39 or the start of 40.
The winter of 39-40.
Hmm. I'm not sure. I've got the dates. Dates of my move. Oh, you've got them. Yeah.
What do you remember next?
Well, so we used to take these bodies out and lay them down out in the vicarage kitchens. They're one of those big vegetable tables, marble in it, something like that. And we used to put them on there, and then about, we used to phone up, and the ambulance from the ACAC site used to come and pick them up.
Were they victims of enemy action or what?
I suppose so. It was all there was airmen and seamen, you see. So that was one of the little jobs in between. But other than that, you see, we used to run the DRLS service, and I also learnt to drive vehicles,
With these corpses, you had to pull them out of the river, did you?
Mm-hmm. And take them up to the vicarage.
Did you have a boat to do that?
A what?
Did you have a boat to do that? A ship? A vessel to go out?
No, they were more or less on the shore, They were washed up.
What happened next?
Well, as I say, we used to have all sorts of little jobs. It was always getting bombed because German bombers used to come up the Humber, have a go at the whole docks, and they knew we were there. That ammo dump, of course, they used to have didn't bother too much with the ACAC site. But and he used to say about each one saves one for you coming out for this ammo dump.
What did he mean by that?
Oh, I suppose he quite frightened us, I suppose. Let us know that they knew we were there.
Each one saves one?
Each bomber saved a bomb for us on the way back out, And that was over the wireless.
And did he mention Paul?
Pardon?
Did he mention Paul?
Paul Point? Not by name, but he said we know the site there with your ammo dump and ACAC site, together. So it was the only one there, so he must have done. So, that was, I was too young to go to France, but all right to get bombed and whatnot and pull corpses out of the Humber there. Nearly got it, nearly bought it there. We used to go down to the ACAC site with the spare parts or any odd jobs or help out, because there's only about a dozen of us we used to muck in. And we used to stay there overnight sometimes, if the artificers, had a job on. And I remember staying there one night, and there used to be the ablution hut, like a big Nissen hut, long Nissen hut, And we'd been in there, had a wash and shave and cleaned up, And as we walked out of this end, a bomb dropped out just a little bit further up the other end, from the other end. And the blast blew us off the steps into a hole that was alongside, That's the nearest they got to to me anyway. But it was continuous every night. There's AK-AK guns going off all the time. Bombers above most nights, you know. You could hear it in the whole docks. They were dropping their bombs there, you know.
Did you ever go into Hull?
Never did. Never got to go in there. No.
How did you get on with the locals at Paul?
There weren't that many about. It was a very isolated place. Very isolated. And perhaps they'd been evacuated. I don't remember having anything much to do with civilians, you know, there, because, as I say, it was in between the AK-AK site and that, and it was all servicemen, the artillery people, you know, and all that. And then on spare time, I was out DRing, dispatch riding, or, you know, didn't have a lot of time for socialising.
And you went far afield with the DR work?
Yes, down as far as I think it was Arnold, a big ordnance depot where you get spare parts and all that sort of thing. And there were smaller units stationed around the area where I used to take correspondence and that sort of thing, you know.
What do you remember happening next?
Well, a bit vague, really. I know I got sent from there. It must have been when I became 19 or something like that. I became old enough to go abroad, you know, because I joined a couple of units that were going abroad, you know, was getting kitted out and that sort of thing, you know. And there's one. I went to one in Wolverhampton, a unit that was going overseas, getting kitted out. And that is it. I think that must be about it. Yeah, I think Wolverhampton was after Paul Point. And then that fell through. Some reason or other, it all disbanded and it fell through. They never went abroad. Where did I go then? Two or three units, you know, that they were getting together to go abroad. Drafts, you know, and all that. But carried on like that until I went to Nottingham, Arnold, to Nottingham for a short, very short time. I remember going out in Nottingham to the trip to Jerusalem. That was the place, a big pub there. Not for long though, they were very short stays.
And all the time you were doing Donar work?
Oh yeah. Yeah, each place we stayed, you know, they found me, there's always plenty of work to do, runs to do, you know. And, well, that carried on until into 41, moving about these different units. Until it was autumn 41. That was it. It was autumn 41, about October, something like that. And then we were, it was from Wolverhampton, I'm sure. So about two or three of us, we got together. And they didn't tell us where we were going, they didn't give us the name of anything. And they just said we were joining a unit in Wales. There's only three or four of us, I think. Three or four at the most. Anyway, they took us on this train. in Wolverhampton. The corporal went with us. And it, I'm not sure where it went or where it's... we transferred onto another one. Anyway, we finished up in Wales, a place called Velindre, in the mountains in Wales. And I did this service down there, I think it was Abergavenny or Aberystwyth or some one of those two, doing the letter service, you know, the usual. And we got off we got this train, we was put on this train, and when we got on this train, it seemed there wasn't a unit there at all. There was all bits and pieces, twos and threes, fours from different units all over the place. And it wasn't until we got to these, the train stopped right in the middle of the country, you know, not a station. And we all got out and went into this field, and there was tents and things in this field. And we had to assemble the tents and marquees, cut the three marquees and all that, you know. I suppose there was about 100 altogether. Anyway, he was there, I can't remember how long it was there, but he was there a couple of weeks or something like that. A couple of 3 weeks. And then a chap came and gave us a speech, a lecture, a bit of a speech. We all got in the marquee, one of these big marquees. And we were told there that we had joined the First Air Landing Brigade. We never heard of it, you know. Anyway, the chap that told us, he's a little Hopkinson, I think his name was, something like that. His stick was a bald, from his waist up to his neck. Anyway, when it came down to it, we'd been inducted into the First Air Landing Brigade, which was going to be the beginnings of the First Airborne Division, but we didn't know that then. All we were told that was in the First Air Landing Brigade, and we would be moving shortly. Anyway, I can't think exactly how long we were there, but might have been before Christmas or just after Christmas of 41. And we moved to Barton Stacey, just outside Andover in Hampshire. And that's where we were issued with the Red Berry and the airborne
flashes.
Anyway, that is it. There's no volunteering or anything like that, you know. And they did, when we was on parade, they said, anybody not wishing to become part of this force, you know, step forward. And of course, nobody do. You know, nobody did. And from then, we was in the First Air Landing Brigade. And that... We went to Barton Stacey, there's 4 camps there, just outside Andover. And we were the Border Regiment, the South Staffs. And these were glider troops, these were...